Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. It's the only
wake
way.
Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late, everybody. Wake up late. Wake up.
It's late. Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Up late now everybody.
Wake up late
now everybody.
Wake up late
now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3,
everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Yeah. What a... Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Danger Studios here in Coral Springs, Florida. It's around 4:54 Eastern Standard Time. I'm joined by Mr. Ethan Moore.
Hey, Dougie. How you doing? Good to be here.
Yeah, and a second week as our Monday co-host.
That's right, yeah.
Ciro Dobrik is out.
Yeah, where's Ciro? Couldn't make it.
Yeah, he's a bartender, so they had a meeting or something. So it was interesting, a bartender meeting. Like, we're going to have a bartender meeting. We're using too much ice.
Yeah, I think that's basically what it is.
We're using too much ice.
We need to sell less booze, but make it look like more.
That's right. You got to start, you got to start marrying the bottles.
Right.
Like, you always trust, like, sometimes you don't trust a bar. You know, like you're getting top shelf, but they're mixing like half the Tito's with maybe some Smirnoff.
Is that a thing they do?
I'm just wondering.
You always got to wonder that. You know, when I lived in Vietnam, I would always hear stories that when you bought like a bottle of vodka or gin or something, you know, if you bought the like Bombay Sapphire gin,
right,
that it was actually like partly like rice wine or some kind of like counterfeit version.
You couldn't trust anything in Asia.
Oh my God. They would always, I would always say, well, you buy it in the airport and then it's usually okay.
Right.
But I don't know.
By the way, also our thoughts and prayers go to everybody in Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. As more evidence shows what that place went through.
Is it category 5 or category 4?
It hit as a category 4, but
wow.
Flooding and there's a dam about to go. I mean, there's no power. It's apocalyptic.
The second one in just a few weeks. This is crazy.
Yeah, they got swiped by Irma, which caused flooding and damage.
Right.
But they got a straight hit, direct hit by Maria. Bet you nobody's going to name their kid Maria in fucking Puerto Rico anymore.
Nah, they still will.
Let's call her Maria. No, Maria. No, call her Candice. Betty. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, we had a show this week. I had the opportunity to book produce a corporate show over at iHeartRadio in Palm Beach.
Okay, cool.
Which is really cool. And they got a nice theater there. It seats like 100 people. And I brought Mike Rivera because it was for teachers.
Okay.
And, you know, Mike has family in Puerto Rico. So
thanks to
Mike for still coming out. Not only that, and our thoughts with Mike and his daughter, who's just getting better in the hospital, thank goodness. Also, a friend of the show, Frank Del Pizzo, went under shoulder surgery, so we hope him a speedy recovery. And we start hoping he throws that curveball again. He doesn't pitch. I don't
know.
Okay. Just thought it'd be funny.
A lot of sick here on the show here.
Yeah, a lot of illnesses. Get it well and, you know, I'm feeling better from my tooth. I had I told you that problem?
Yeah, you had some kind of discount dental work done.
Yeah,
you're
Miami.
Telling me.
Dude, 100.
It didn't turn out well. No, I'm shocked.
It's fine. No, I was happy. Our buddy Will Lopez, comic, his brother,
right,
is a dentist in Miami.
Right. It was discount because someone was doing you a favor, not
right,
discount
because
the
cheap.
Service quality was low.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They use fix a flat.
Here's a 2x4. Knock yourself out, literally.
Yeah. We don't need Novocaine. Just chew on this battery.
Right.
So, you know, $175. So I'm officially done with my old dentist and now going to be using Oscar Lopez as my new dentist.
Oscar.
And I let you know what's cool about it. When I go there, he plays loud music. You know, he just puts his iTunes in and just plays like loud. You can like Led Zeppelin's playing.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you're sitting there and getting drilled and You hearing, you know, the immigrant song.
Oh, man. I don't know if that would make it better or worse.
No, it makes great.
It's music, good?
Music to me is always, you know.
Then you associate it with the pain or the discomfort, as they usually call it. You're going to feel some discomfort.
Yeah.
Like, Christ almighty, that hurts, doctor.
I even had that moment, too, where you get worked on. They give you Novocaine, right? And you could feel, like, your face blowing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you know, like, okay, you know you get to the point,
right.
You realize it's probably not, you don't feel shit.
Yeah.
But I still felt, like, tingling, not numbness. Yeah, yeah. And I thought, okay, and as he was drilling out the old filling and clearing that out, I was getting a little bit, but I was kind of enjoying it. I was, like, a little freak.
Oh, you got, like, yeah, got a little masochism.
I was okay. I was just holding on. I don't want to be a puss.
Right.
I didn't want to sit there and go, you know, and then he's going to have to shoot me up and I have to wait. I'm like, just bear it. Just deal with it.
The doctor's like, your dick is in my leg. Okay. Just
Jeff. Jeff Anderson's had his wisdom tooth pulled, freeing more stupid than usual now. Well,
hey,
that's.
Hey, yo.
Thanks. Leave the comedy out to us, buddy. Hey, RJ Walker, Korea says U.S. declared war. We're going to talk about that today, by the way.
What? Is that true?
Yeah, well, what happened was, here's a funny thing. Here's the thing I don't like about my American fellow friends and citizens.
I'm all ears, Dougie. I'd like to hear this.
Because
I don't like them either.
these wusses on Facebook are like, oh, North Korea is going to send us missiles. Listen, they're not doing dick, okay? They're not going to do dick. If anything, the North Koreans are just trying to put themselves up so they can sell nuclear weapons to ISIS and other people. That's the real play they're trying to scare people at. They're not going to say they have these missiles flying over shit, but we could shoot them out of the fucking sky and carpet bomb the shit out of that place. It's not a problem. Stop worrying about North Korea. Oh, North Korea. Listen, you know how many threats Kim Jong-un has threatened us? Oh,
yeah.
How many, at least, you know, you're not a real political guy, but how many times have you heard that Kim Jong-un is going to fucking kill us now because of what we did?
Oh, it's about every couple months or so, at least.
He hasn't done dick, okay?
He killed Otto Warmbier, though.
Yeah, that one poor kid.
I feel bad for Otto.
That guy got the shit beat out of him. Oh, here,
God.
Have him back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, North Korea. Yeah, come on. You're not going to die from North Korea. You're going to die from smoking too much or catching a disease.
Or fake poisoned alcohol.
That's how you die. Yeah, not from North Korea.
Yeah. So, you know, but listen. Again, but what happened was the spokesman for North Korea said, based on, you know, Trump's comments calling him Rocket Man, which I thought it was hysterical. We talked about that last week. I thought it was funny. That he's, you know, and of course the United States sent bombers, these B-2 massive jet bombers, just outside the demilitary zone, out of their airspace.
Right.
But they took that as an act of war. So that's why they're saying Trump has declared war on them. So if they shoot, now here's the thing. They said, if they shoot an American plane out of the sky that's outside the territory, we're just telling you that can happen now because you declared war on us.
Huh.
Now, like when you're in school and you wanted to beat the shit out of somebody, something happened, you say, look, you started with me. What do you mean?
Oh, right.
You know, you want to always say, you always want to have the instigate. Like, I'm a martial artist, so if I got into a fist fight and I knocked the fuck out of somebody, I can get in a lot of trouble. The only way I can avoid trouble is if people witness that the person tried to hit me first.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then I'm justified in my actions.
So you're America in this example.
Yeah, I'm America.
Uh-huh.
And this little fucking tub of lard, you know, asshole.
Right.
Is sitting there and he's like, you fucking suck. You're an asshole. You're a hack. He's doing all this shit.
Right.
And I'm like, whatever, you know.
And he has like one good punch he can throw. Meanwhile, you have like
and he has to load up on that punch.
Like, yeah, when you have like an M16.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there.
Or something like that. That would make it closer to actual America, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know kung fu, but also you're holding a rocket launcher.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
He's got a slingshot or something.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Here's a guy sitting there with a fucking rocket pocket slingshot.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting there with an AR-15, a knife, a sword.
Right.
And a grenade launcher. And, you know, he's going to I'm going to hit you with this. No one, you know, no one's scared about
that. And you're like, I want you to.
Yeah. I can tell you there's been a couple people that I've hoped would take a first punch at me in the last several months, not the last few years, I should say. I can name four or five people that I wish would take a punch at me. I would just stand there and let them, you know. Now here's the thing. I don't know. Like, that's something I've done. You know, I as a fighter, I've done that. I've been in a situation where I've said, look, I'll let you hit me, and I'll keep my hands at my side.
Okay.
I'll give you first shot. I'll stand here and you could take a first shot. Whether you want to go up my, you want to go for the midsection, you want to go for my head. I'm going to keep my hands down. I'm not going to block it. I may, you know, I may shun it off a little bit, but go ahead.
Are we still talking about North Korea? I'm confused now.
Yeah, remember, North Korea. Okay. That's what Trump's saying. Trump's saying, go ahead, take your fucking shot. And we all know that Russia and China have basically said that unless North Korea makes the first move, they're not going to be happy with the United States if they did something preemptive. So this is the game now. Who's going to make the first move?
I don't want us to kill the North Korea, though.
No? You
know? Well, here's why. Because you have one crazy guy and then his horrible government and the people that are in his military and all that stuff. And then you have like a bunch of starving people that are actually the North Koreans.
Right. But that's what they got to, this person's got to be taken out, you know, and, you know, I love the hats. You ever see the military, the hats, the big North Korea, then the big ass North Korean hats?
Oh, yeah. They have those like Russian.
Yeah.
Right. Or they look like, or maybe it's, is it like the, who are the guys that stand in front of Buckingham Palace?
Yeah.
Like, Beefeaters. Like, it's kind of like yeah. that. It's just yeah. that giant furry the, hat. Yeah.
But they, and they wear the big ones. It's like they have a bottle of pho in it after, I guess. Could
I think
be.
It's Vietnam, but still.
Yeah, well, same age.
They've got some kimchi in there, Doug.
You got some kimchi, some chicken, some Korean barbecue. That's right. Delicious. All right, so thanks to RJ, Liver Kick, we discussed the
Liver Kick,
the threat by the North Koreans. But let's get back to this weekend. Interesting weekend for the NFL.
Yeah, what about, enough about war on North Korea, what about Donald Trump's war on the NFL?
Yeah, and, you know, here's a. I guess it started. Everybody knows the this Colin Kaepernick. He decided to kneel during the national anthem because he was upset with racial. That's what I'm looking. Like he was upset with what happened with police and black people in America. They felt there was injustice there because a couple cops did some. You know, didn't get charged. You know, like the one guy who was in the van who got died in the van. You know, the police were
right.
You know, and that was a sketchy case. You know, and then the one big guy who was selling cigarettes illegally, you know, he weighed like 450 fucking pounds. Five guys tried to hold him down, choke him. He ended up having a heart attack and yeah. choked to death.
To paraphrase Dave Chappelle, he was mad that the police were apparently beating up Negroes like hotcakes and killing a few of them in the mix.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, here's my thing. I don't mind protests. Like I said earlier, you stand, sit. I don't give a shit what you do at the national anthem. I really don't care. I think the national anthem should be played. It's part of our game. It's a sport. The national anthem's played. It's like in the during Olympics they play like a boxing event. They play the national. You know, it's just a thing.
That's true.
It's just something. It's a fucking tradition. That yeah. if it's going to be changed, it shouldn't be changed because people are upset about something, about the injustice of something. This country has been through all kinds of shit. In the Civil War, the country itself won the war against the Confederates. To free slavery. That was a progressive move.
That's true.
Hundreds of thousands of people in this country died over a war to rid this country of slavery, and it was.
Actually, Oliver Wendell Holmes at one point penned an anti-slavery part of the national anthem that was used for some years, like during the Civil War.
Right.
So it was,
so there you go.
So definitely some association with the Union there.
And not only that. I mean, I imagine there's, I don't know any of my black friends who want to go back 20 years in history and live in this U.S. as it was 20 years ago. I'm going to say that you would imagine that race relations have gotten progressively better over the years.
You would imagine that.
But, like interracial dating is more accepted.
Right.
You know, there's more, there's black owners in football teams. There's more black, there's, you know what I mean? Like you, it's not, the world isn't perfect. We're not looking for utopia
right.
here. But if when you look in the world of progression, this country has done a lot
uh-huh.
to try to make things equal opportunity. And here's my thing. I don't mind protests, and I will protest if something's like if I have an issue with this my family and my home, I'm concerned with the thing that threatens this thing the most. So in other words, like in a fight.
Okay.
Like if I'm in a fight with somebody, I'm not going to worry about somebody thumbing me in the eye. I'm more concerned about them punching me, kicking me. So if you want to protect your family, your safety, your own life, you have to worry about those things that are the most dangerous, right?
Yeah, I think I get where you're coming from. Although personally, I'm not a huge fan of nationalist sentiment. Like I'm sort of mistrustful of it.
Yeah,
I think I always have been, and I think that comes from my Christian upbringing too,
uh-huh.
where it's just like like Jesus is kind of skeptical of the state in all of its forms.
Like anything.
And I worry a little bit about worshiping the government rather than...
And no one should worship the government.
Yeah.
The government should worship its people.
Sometimes it feels too much like a religious ritual when everyone stands up for the... It is tradition, and I see there's a place for that. I'm of a couple different minds on this, I guess.
And, basically the idea of this country is freedom, prosperity for all, and we're working at it. It's not perfect, but yet I think compared to where we were now, some people will say that the racial divide began during the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
Because the divide, I'll tell you, the first thing that happened in the Obama administration was the divide between the haves and the have-nots. When Obama attacked corporate CEOs for using corporate jets, right?
Yeah.
During that whole thing, they're using corporate jets. And then the hypocrisy of him going on a $50 million vacation to Spain with his wife and kids while he was, kind of fucking threw that out the door. So corporate CEOs are going to do whatever. that's theirs. It's their... I
go back to the Washington administration if you want to trace racial inequality. I think it goes back a lot further than Obama.
Yeah. But I'm, in the progress of things, I think in the modern day, we've come a long way. Like I said, I'm sure that there's not one black person I know that wants to go back to the 1950s.
No. I think that our ideals, and maybe the ideals represented by some of the words of the national anthem, are... and always have been kind of aspirational. You know, it's like when Thomas Jefferson wrote, all men are created equal. At that time, there was slavery. So it's only later, after years and fighting a civil war and all that stuff, that now all men are created equal comes to mean, hopefully, really all men and all women are really created equal. And we really believe that.
And so we
kind of have to grow into our ideals sometimes. Right, and sometimes the national anthem maybe stands for things that we haven't grown into yet.
Yeah. It's a guideline. It's an outline. It's just like the Constitution. The longest lasting Constitution in the world with any government is there. And here's the thing. When you have the right to succeed, you also have the right to fail. And here's my point. My question to the black community is, what's your biggest threat? If your biggest threat is racist police, then please, if that's what it is, then by all means. Listen, I don't live in the black community. I can't speak for it. Obviously.
Well, the biggest threat to the black community is clearly the drug war. It's the war on drugs, the prohibition of drugs.
Now, let me ask you. Now, I'm going to guess, again, coming from the outside, I'm going to guess the biggest threats to the black community are education, poverty, the economy, education, and like you said, drug war.
The war on drugs gives the police an opportunity to stop any American citizen they want. And if there's a little racism there, then it's visited a little bit more on... black people, people of color, and the poor also.
Right.
Seems to be the case.
I would say that the drug problem has to do with it. That's an easy way out for somebody that's impoverished, right? It's an easy way out. And when we talk about the rights of prosperity, listen, I've been misunderstood many times because people seem to think I was born of a golden spoon. I have a house, I have money, all this. They think because I didn't get dick, okay? My parents were moved here from the other country. They didn't really know. I didn't have any help doing my algebra. My parents,
right.
Did your parents ever help you at homework?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. My dad was a college professor too.
Really?
And he didn't help
Well,
me.
That was just fucking mean. But see, my parents didn't know. Uh-huh. I would bring homework back. My mama had no idea. My father had no idea.
Right.
What the fuck? So I had to do it on my own.
Yeah.
So I could have done this. I could have done that. I could have, but I wanted to take a straight route. I wanted to go a certain way. Do I feel bad for it? You going to tell me a simple, this person had to sell drugs and this and that. Really? Is that the fucking case?
But Dougie, you're well off now, but you're not rich. Colin Kaepernick is rich.
He is.
He's rich. And the rich are different from you and I, Dougie,
Well.
They have their own methods, their own proclivities, okay? He's a different social class from us.
Donald Trump on Twitter said that he didn't say, he basically said, like, here's people are saying that he said he called them sons of bitches. What he said was, I'm surprised that NFL owners don't go out and say, what are the, get these sons of bitches off the field.
Well, you're sort of parsing there. I mean, I think you can say that Trump called him sons of bitches, and to be honest, that's like a one on the Trump scale.
It's nothing.
Trump has said so many worse things about so many different people. Why does that even matter?
You're talking about a guy, a business guy, Uh-huh. You know, seeing people that he's seeing, because you basically players of the NFL are employees of the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's looking at it as, look, the NFL is struggling. The stats on the NFL and the viewership has been going down ever since this Kaepernick thing.
The struggling New York Times, the struggling NFL. You guys don't get my ratings.
Well, I don't. That's
I'm
funny.
Big, you're small, but it is funny. He always kind of, you know, he'll always the fatal flaw in something, and he knows exactly where to hit you.
You would think now.
It's very funny.
And you know what? To me, and you take it personally, but my point is this: I don't feel the biggest threat to the black community is the injustice of the police in this country. I think that it needs to be addressed. I think there should be body cameras on everybody. I think there should be training of the police staff to be more sensitive to certain things. And, you know, like I tell people, I used to train police officers on the PR-24. And the biggest thing that the police department hired me to say, we want to use the PR-24 as something other than a battering stick.
Okay.
We want to be able to use it to immobilize and cops know how to use it without striking somebody.
What is the PR-24 exactly?
It's like a billy club that has the thing sticking out the side.
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe on the break, I'll go get you mine.
Okay.
But there's ways to use it where you just don't strike them as a club.
Uh-huh.
You use it as a way to immobilize and to choke and to hold and subdue and hold, you know, as opposed to knocking their skull and causing brain damage. So those are the things I was trained because they wanted. When someone's arresting, so here's the thing. When somebody's being arrested, it's not a nice thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not usually like, okay, a lot of times that people put their hands behind their back. They're busted. What are you going to do?
Right.
But there's sometimes, I shouldn't say most, more of the time people just comply, fucking, I'm busted. But for the most part, people run. They try to kill the cop. You know, they don't want to get arrested. They're going to do whatever they can. So unless you're ever in that situation where you try to subdue somebody, now, it's not an easy thing. So you have to try to use force of somehow. And so it's not like you can control that force at any time. It's not like you have a stun gun in Star Trek. I'm like, well, you know, this is going to set the stun. Life isn't like that. Sometimes you don't know what level. I've been in fights. I've been in 10 professional fights. I've probably fought in over 100 different martial arts competitions. I've been in the ring with somebody else. You don't know what you're going to get hit with until you get hit.
Well, here's a question, Dougie. So if the police, they're supposed to be serve and protect. So if they're serve and protect, then shouldn't they hold the lives of the citizens as more valuable than their own lives? If they're really heroes?
Not if the person's the one that's a danger to society. In other words, if somebody's still a citizen. No. The minute somebody's is considered a criminal, somebody's like, if you walk in and somebody's robbing a store.
Right.
You have to protect the citizens around that person. That person has made a decision to be a threat to the community by wielding a gun or a knife or whatever it is.
Okay, so shouldn't the order be, you know, innocent bystanders are the most important.
Right.
Second most important is the perpetrator, and third most important is the cop's own life.
No, not at all.
Really?
The first person is
because you're giving your life to protect the citizens, the one who's a criminal.
No. If somebody's in the act of a crime, the police officer must save himself. Because if the police officer eats it, then all the citizens around that person could eat it. And it's foolish.
In that case,
it's foolish to say that anybody that's on any position is not. Now, if there's a girl hanging from a ledge,
mm-hmm.
and the police officer is going to risk his life for a limb to save that life,
right?
And that right, his life is secondary to that life. But in the act of a criminal, do you know that once you commit a crime. The rights that you have as a citizen, the minute you're involved in a crime, and it later is then proven to whether you're not, but you lose all your rights. In other words, if you shoot somebody in the fucking head at a little general store,
uh-huh.
you know, the cop can come in and put a fucking bullet in your head.
Right.
There's no reason that, you know, what are you going to do? He just shot somebody, so now what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and try to talk to the person? You're going to feel bad because the person had one parent?
Right.
Listen, I only had one parent. That's why I put a... Oh, well, in that case, let's talk about it.
But
no.
You're talking about like a hostage situation.
I'm talking about anytime somebody's in the middle of a crime. Whenever somebody's in the middle of a crime, anything from a domestic dispute, if you're sitting there with a husband and wife screaming at each other, you're thinking, oh, it's just an argument. Oh, it's just an argument between a couple. At any point in time, one of those people could pull out a gun and shoot the fucking cop. The most dangerous thing a police officer pulls up on is in a domestic dispute.
Uh-huh.
It's been proven. It's the worst thing.
Sure.
Because they're fighting each other, but then once somebody, you try to get the guy away, the woman protects her husband and pulls out a knife and stabs the cop in the back.
Right.
Don't touch my husband. Don't arrest my husband. He could beat the shit out of me. So, I mean, so in this situation.
But aren't a lot of these situations that people are so upset about, people like the NFL players that have been protesting and Black Lives Matter protesters, aren't a lot of these situations where the main life at risk was the only two people there basically were like the cops and the perpetrator, like they stop someone and then they end up killing him or something like that? I mean, are these happening in the middle of a crowded mall? Because then you have a point. But if it's just the guy and then the cop there, I mean, that's like...
And a lot of...
Take him in nonviolently, and if you can't...
I'll go back to a case there was... It was about a year or two ago where the guy got stopped and the cop was there and the guy started running away from the cop in the park. You remember that video?
I think I saw that.
And they shot the guy and killed him?
Yeah.
The cop should be charged for murder. There was no present danger. The way the guy was running, he wasn't running swiftly like loose... Usain Bolt, who was going to get away, you know that. So case by case, of course.
Yeah.
But my point is, for that one moment, that one isolated event, like I said this before, Michael Brown caused his own demise. You know, Michael Brown got shot because he attacked the cop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's been proven. Black Lives Matter started with that fucking shit with Mike Brown. And it was all based on that, which was bullshit. Michael Brown was a fucking thug and a bully, and he took on the cop and tried to grab the cop's gun and then came at the cop after he didn't think the cop was going to shoot him. Well, he got shot.
Go ahead.
No, so now here's my point. When it comes to the police, for each one of these incidences that the media shows in this case,
mm-hmm.
and again, everything's case by case, and just like when OJ didn't get tried, that was ridiculous. Everybody thought he was guilty, but he wasn't, right?
Right.
Okay. So I can understand if everybody in the black community thinks that once a white cop shoots a black unarmed person, they're automatically assumed that the cop is guilty. So if it goes through a trial, and hopefully it's a fair trial, then if it's not, then protest that. But my point is that for every one of those cases, there's a million other cases where a cop saves somebody else's fucking life.
Uh-huh.
So... if you want to sit there and protest the way
that doesn't
country,
sell newspapers as much.
Yeah. So my point is, fuck all this. The biggest threat to the black community isn't racist or bad fucking trained cops. That is not the biggest threat to the fucking black community. And this is the problem I have with it, because if you want to fix something, you got to start with what is the biggest risk. Just like my house during the hurricane, I didn't get more fucking storm shutters. I got a new door because that was the weakest point. That was the biggest risk, was getting the fucking storm door, was my garage door being blown in. So if you really want to make things better for the black community, let's start with education. Let's start with the communities. Let's start with the economy in these places. Let's start with that. You know, a racist cop is not the biggest threat to the black community.
Well, is the question whether it's the biggest threat? Aren't they? They're not necessarily saying it's the biggest threat. They're just saying this is a threat. So let's deal with this one because we have.
But, you know, here's my point. Why?
Right.
All right. So all right, they want to do it. Let's bring awareness to it. I get it.
I'm just saying, is that the argument? Is the argument this is the biggest threat? They're just saying, well, let's, yeah.
Well,
let's
look at this. That, to me, there's a reason why this shit's happening. You know, there's a reason why. And here's the problem. When you look at these cases, you know, if most of these people are committing crimes at the time. You know, when I read these stories, somebody's committing crime. That one guy that got shot in Chicago was fucking drugs and he was high and he was running through the streets and yelling at cops and shit. And, you know, again, the guy got shot. Whether he has a gun or not, you know, listen, all I know is these aren't people that are doing charity work that are just sitting there and getting shot. These are people in bad situations. And I'm going to stick with my police friends because for the most part, as a majority, what do you want? When Colin Kaepernick puts on socks of pigs dressed as pigs faced with police's.
Police officers. That what he did? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he wore socks with cops as pigs.
Okay.
Okay? So fuck your... You have an ulterior... Like, you not only do you want to just bring it... This is how you want to bring attention to it? By making the cop the bad guy in this situation all the time? It's wrong. And that's why most Americans are not following this fucking... This kneel down bullshit.
But you know, so Trump said that what he said about like sons of bitches or whatever, and then yesterday was Sunday,
right.
And it was like the whole NFL was kneeling, or
right.
at least linking arms with kneeling. So I feel like Trump may have provoked some, you know, he may have created a lot of sympathy for the protest that wasn't there before.
But here it's good. Everybody now, here's the good thing about it. Listen, I don't think the president should be involved in, like, just like I didn't think Obama should have got involved with the Michael Brown case.
The president thinks that he can use it politically.
I don't.
That's what politicians do. They all do the same
thing. And listen, everybody, listen. I'm not a genius. I don't know. Maybe there's some. Maybe in the end result thing, maybe it is a genius act that may bring this more attention. I don't know. And I'm just going to go with the fucking blows as we go through this. But as we go through it, I'm going to judge my own actions. And I can tell you that there's a lot of people that are saying "fuck you" to the NFL. And now that they came out, and here's a big thing: Alejandro Villanueva. Who plays on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers decided to not go out. Let's not get political. Let's sit inside during the national anthem.
I thought they were sitting inside as protest.
Well, they were saying we're not going to be part of it. We're not going to let them take cameras on us. We're not. They don't know whether we're not even going to be there during the national anthem.
Isn't that almost worse?
I don't know. But it's, you know, that way you don't judge. Listen, they're still in there. You know,
maybe they're all standing at attention in there. We can't see.
Yeah, that's what. But Alejandro, okay. Who's a former,
or they could be burning a flag. We can't see it.
Yeah,
who knows?
They could be stomping all over the flag, wiping their ass with it. But the guy, Alejandro, he's a war vet. He fought in the Iraqi. He was a special forces guy. He said no. Well, even though the whole team said they were going to stay in, he went out because he felt his duty to go out just outside where they walk out, and he stood there with his hand on his heart.
Okay.
The coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Tomlinson, his name is. He basically berated the guy for doing that. He didn't listen to his teammates, you know, and people don't think this is a distraction, but I can tell you right now, playing in collegiate sports and being on a team, it is a distraction. It was obviously a distraction for the Pittsburgh Steelers who lost. It obviously was a distraction for the Oakland Raiders who got the shit beat out of them.
They did, man. I have Marshawn Lynch on my fantasy team, and I was very disappointed.
Gonna, you know,
lose
what I mean?
This week, yeah.
So,
well, I don't know if it was a distraction or what. You know, there's a million things that could lose you in an NFL game.
I think
I guess.
That the NFL now stands for not for long.
Really,
it won't be long now before this game falls. And you know, if it's not because of the concussions and all the data that's coming out,
that's the other thing. Yeah,
the kids aren't playing anymore.
Aaron Hernandez,
your talent
thing.
Base. You know, and like you said, it was a great point. Who gives a fuck whether these scumbags fucking kneel down or not? Most of them are criminals.
Wait, did I say that?
Yeah, you called them scumbags. No, he didn't. He didn't call them.
I said it's not the worst thing an NFL player has ever done. You know, they're usually punching their wife.
If you look at the police records, and by the way, it was just a few months ago that one of these players lied under oath about the way a cop handled him in Las Vegas. He lied. It's been proven that he lied.
Right.
And now just like the people at the scene of the Michael Brown when he got shot, there was bystanders there from the black community that lied about what happened. They lied for people that testified and what happened. None of their stories corroborated. They all, like, he was walking with his hands up, and I already told people this is bullshit. When Michael Brown, the only reason you're going to get shot and you're going to land with your hands down like this, on like straight down, is because you're moving forward at a fast pace.
Okay.
Because if you're standing there like this and you get shot in the chest, your hands don't stay up. They crumble. Everything crumbles down and you fall into a heap. You don't fall down like a fucking tree when you get shot. Okay? I've seen people get shot, and I can tell you that is not what would happen.
Wait, you saw people get shot?
Yeah.
Where did you see that?
And when I worked security details.
Oh, wow.
One time in Panama and one time in Miami.
See, I would think you work for private security firms. I would think that you would be advocating, like me and my anarchist friend John Gregory, for the end of the police and the state mechanisms
no,
of
because
control,
I don't wanna,
and
I don't,
just
don't,
have private security firms, man.
No,
full employment.
No, because it goes to private security firms. There's going to be less people, a lot less questions being asked. Just get rid of the fucking. That's it. You don't have time. Less time. The police have a lot more shit to deal with. There's not an internal affairs for private security like a Blackwater group.
Right, but they are going to want a good rating from the free market raider.
It's not Uber.
The Yahoo or whatever. The
We killed less people than our competitors last year.
Yeah, 4 stars.
All right. My message is clear. I am not first of all, I'm not racist. I judge people on the way they treat me and their actions. I don't judge people on their race, color, or creed or what they do. I judge people about how they treat others, and I get to witness, right?
Uh-huh.
That's how I do things, simply, okay? So if the biggest threat to the black community is racist police, then fine. Keep your cause going. Trust me. I'm all for it. I don't want any scumbag cop shooting anybody that's innocent or losing their fucking cool. And like that one guy shot that guy who was reaching, he had a carry permit, the guy whose girlfriend...
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's he loses his badge. That's it.
Right.
He's gone.
Did you see that cop who was trying to take blood from someone in a hospital, and the nurse tried to stop him, and then he had the nurse arrested?
Yeah.
That was wild, right?
He handled that poorly.
Oh, man.
Now,
you're not kidding.
Under the premise, the guy who wanted to prove the guy was drinking or something, because they wanted to prove something, because
he was the victim.
Yeah.
He had been hit by a drunk driver or something like that in some kind of a police
he was the
chase.
Guy. Yeah.
And so they figured probably if he had blood in his system or if he had alcohol in his system, then they wouldn't have to answer
questions. My personal feeling
is
the guy probably was mistaken. Bad call. Bad, but, you know, again, dopey shit. There's bad people in every profession. And eventually they'll be weeded out just on the actions. But when it comes to the threat, again, the biggest threat to the black community isn't racist police. It's education.
War on drugs.
It's the war on drugs. It's within their own communities. There's so much corruptness in Chicago. It's unbelievable. And, you know, this is straight from the mouth of some of my friends that are black. The black people are more racist to black people than any other race. And I made sense to me because, like, Spanish people are racist to
uh-huh.
Spanish people. Like, you know, my family's from Spain. So
uh-huh.
there's a lot of racism within the Spanish community.
Sure.
So when you're going to point out, you can't say they can't be racist, but we can be racist. You know, you can't say that, you know, if you look at the community, if you look at the black community, what is the biggest threats to the black community? And if it's police, then fine. Continue protesting. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to say it's not the biggest threat.
Dougie Almeida, a lot of strong opinions today about the black community.
Well, listen, I love all people, and I don't want to see anybody in pain. I don't want to see anybody suffer. And I really don't want to see people following the wrong ideas. You know, when this thing happened with Michael Brown and everything, I said it and it happened. More and more people are going to feel emboldened to challenge police officers when they're stopped. All that did was make young black men more bold and to question police what's happening and give more
right.
potential for fucking bad outcomes, right? I don't give a shit about who's right or wrong in that situation. I care people living to see the next day so they can move on in life and prosper. You know, I can assure the black community, I'm sure anybody that would have said, would you have let Michael Brown stay at your house overnight? Would you have let that guy fucking hang out in your house, you know, go ahead and walk through your house freely? So let's really look what we're looking at here.
Well, he must have lived somewhere.
Well, yeah, his parents. And his parents were lying fucks, too. Parents were liars. Parents are big-time liars.
Kill them all, says Dougie.
No. Anyway.
Problem solved.
Well, good thing about this segment, we went pretty long. So our Straight from the Headlines will be next with...
We needed it, man. We needed to go long.
Yeah, we needed to go long, like in football. Go long.
Right. Wish the Raiders did more of that yesterday.
Yeah.
Some points.
Well, again, as a soccer fan, I can give a fuck less about the NFL. I think professional soccer should take the place of NFL, if you ask me.
I feel kind of the same way. Like, I do play fantasy football, but I've never played football. I don't even know that much about football.
Right.
I'm not a wealthy football player.
Right.
And I'm not black. So I have, like, no... You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know how well I relate to the protests, but I'm all in favor of, if you don't want to stand up for the national anthem, hey, man. I didn't know how to stand up for it when I was in school. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm like, hey, whatever.
I stand up for the national anthem because I'm here in this country. I believe in everything. We're not perfect, but there's no other place I'd rather be.
I always stand up at a baseball game, though. I don't know what that is.
You take your hat off, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, yeah, I do that.
A bunch of idiots that don't know how to take their hat off during a national anthem. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Ethan Moore. And when we come back, we'll have Straight from the Headlines right after this.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? It's Elgin David. And you already know I'm hanging out with my right-hand man, Dougie Almeida, right here on Bubba Radio. So thanks for tuning in to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them.
First story, the NFL. No, just
yeah,
kidding.
Let's start with the NFL. This was an interesting story. I don't know if you saw this, but I guess they had the Invictus Games in Canada.
Now what's Invictus?
Invictus is like an English thing. They had the Invictus, like the rugby team with the South Africa and the apartheid. It was a great movie with Matt Damon. Matt Damon.
I didn't see it, but I know Invictus is Latin for like unvanquished.
Yeah,
never conquered.
They have and what happened was, I guess Melania Trump was there, and she got to meet with Prince Harry.
Okay,
and, the one who's dating the U.S. The TV star lady or movie star lady.
All right, I don't know, but
so,
okay.
Supposedly, in this meeting in a social op, they were sitting there and they were taking photos, and Prince Harry. They thought gave the sign of the devil.
What?
He put his hand in his jacket like this, exposing, as he was sitting there taking the pictures like this with his jacket.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are saying that, whoa, what the hell is this?
He's giving the kiss, like the devil sign? Like,
yeah,
like,
not like this. This is like peace. This is like rock and roll. This is...
Is it different depending on which way?
Yeah,
I thought they were both the devil.
I thought it was.
Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil.
Yeah. Remember that?
That was great.
One of my favorite songs when I in the gym, shout at the devil. Awesome, great beat to get on your treadmill. Social media thinks Prince Harry was sending Melania Trump a pretty sinister message. Melania Trump brushed shoulders with royalty over the weekend during their first solo trip as First Lady when she met Prince Harry, attending the Invictus Games in Toronto, where she met the prince who founded the event. Before the opening ceremony, although she might have planned, blah, blah, blah. She was wearing a nice Dior suit, by the way, and some cute shoes. But yeah, everybody's saying that, you know, he gave the sign of, now.
He's not just the Prince of England, he's the Prince of Darkness.
That's right. It's like, but other people that are like body language professionals, that they read body language.
Uh-huh.
And they said it's just he has a weird way of being uncomfortable, so he likes to put his hand on his stomach a lot when he's in that situation.
It's probably just some of that good old-fashioned royal inbreeding, you know?
Yeah.
Just some weird ticks and stuff.
Better he had some bad fish and chips.
Yeah,
could be. Know what I mean?
Well, this just tells you, like, this is just like media. You know, they're always looking for some ridiculous story that will gin up some kind of controversy. This is a nothing. It reminds me of the whole, like... It's the satanic ritual abuse stories they used to tell in the 80s. It's like, oh no, it's another daycare and there's crazy and then it turns out it was all fake. And Hillary Clinton, the spirit cooking thing. There's so many examples of all this stuff. Everyone wants to talk about the devil. The devil sells newspapers.
Yeah. And by the way, we're still here. There was no end of the world this weekend.
Yeah.
Although that guy came out and said, and now it's in October. Sorry, I fucked up the date. I think it's October now.
That is an old trick, Dougie. That's what you do.
Oh, wait a minute. Did I say September?
Yeah. In a couple months, he's going to be like, no. Next year, I meant.
Yeah.
Stick around.
Did I say 2017?
Donate more. Yeah. Let me pass the collection plate around. We're going to need to survive till then.
Yeah. People all over Twitter have taken part in a debate about the hand signal, trying to decipher what it means. Or if it was done on purpose. And while many believe it to be a sinister body language, expert Dr. Jack Brown thinks it's something entirely different, which just meant he was uncomfortable or ate some bad tacos.
Okay.
When I look at the video, it does look a little questionable. You know, like...
Maybe he's casting a spell on her. He wants to bang First Lady.
Well, who wouldn't?
Now
think about this. You know, I mean, if anything, Melania does look like she's like, you know, the way she speaks and moves. I mean, she looks, you know, she looks like a mean bitch. I mean, she looks like she could be the she-devil. She could be like the Antichrist.
She's got that cold Slavic thing.
Yeah, maybe we don't know this. We're all blaming Trump, but maybe he's under a spell.
Ah.
You know what I mean? And
okay.
She's bringing him somehow indirectly power. And every time he goes to bed, he's like, you know, screw the NFL. I want my soccer teams to come.
I knew we should blame women for the election of Donald Trump. I was hoping for this.
See, that's one person that Hillary didn't blame. By the way, did you see my photo on Facebook? If you haven't, I was flying Southwest Airlines this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the photo of one of my flight attendants? The guy, he was the doppelganger of fucking Bill Clinton.
Really?
I got like 80, 100 likes on Facebook. I'm like, I think Bill Clinton's my flight attendant, and the guy looks just like fucking Bill Clinton.
Now, did he look like the plump, healthy Bill Clinton in the 90s,
like,
or did
he
look like the gaunt, older Clinton?
Yeah, definitely the gaunt one.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Now, here's a story. Sri Lanka arrested a Sri Lankan, arrested for trying to smuggle 1 kilogram of gold in his ass.
That's a lot of gold in your ass.
Where are we going to put this gold?
I love Sri Lanka, by the way. I've been there 3 times on business and for pleasure. I've really enjoyed that country.
Yeah, it's nice. I've never been there. They tell me it's nice.
Climbed to the peak of Adam's Peak, which is a mountain there where they claim Adam was there, Moses,
really?
And also someone, maybe Muhammad or something. There's like three different religions that all revere this peak.
They've all been there.
And there's a temple at the top of it with all these butterflies and monks. It's crazy. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That's where you got to go and ask if the NFL is going to be around for another 5 years.
Yeah, talk to the old monk. He'll tell you.
Custom officials find gold inside a 45-year-old man after noticing his suspicious movements. Ooh. No, I'll stand up. Thanks. A Sri Lankan man who raised suspicion by the way he kept looking around in an airport departure lounge was found to be carrying nearly 1 kilogram, about 2.2 pounds of gold stashed in his rectum. The 45-year-old was headed for India, was arrested at Colombo Airport on Sunday after customs officials noticed suspicious movements.
Must wow.
Been bowel movements.
Yeah, that's going to show up on an x-ray, I got to say.
You would think, right? In the body scanner?
You have giant rocks in your intestines. Oh, my God. That sounds painful. See, this is why everyone should convert their gold into Bitcoin, you know, because that one thumb drive, that fits right up your ass, no problem.
You have no problem. You can put that under your balls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you got foreskin, maybe you could just stick it in your pouch.
Sure.
The man was carrying 904.77 grams of gold worth 4.5 million rupees.
Which is probably like $8,000 or $9,000 or something.
22,000 pounds. Well,
okay.
In English, but that's about 30,000. Yeah. But was freed after payment of 100,000 rupees. He said such methods of smuggling were not unusual. Yeah. You ever heard the expression mule? The gold was wrapped in plastic bags inserted in his rectum. Well, at least they're clean.
Right.
Cleanliness is the best.
Yeah. See, they should have converted the gold into cocaine or heroin, and then it would have been smaller and easier to transport.
Yeah. Well, why are you smuggling gold? You can't. I guess you don't want to. You can't only take so much with you into another country.
There's
right?
a lot of mining in that country. Yeah. Does it say? I'm actually curious. Did he work for like a mining concern and he was trying to escape with his ill-gotten gains? What was the deal?
I don't know. Who cares? He's a real asshole.
I'll tell you what, man. I don't have gold in my asshole, so I don't feel that sorry for that guy.
Listen, if I had that much gold, I sure as hell would have put it in my ass. It'd be going in my safe deposit box. Now, you probably have, but you ever been in a threesome?
Yeah, I've been in a couple, yeah.
Yeah, two girls and a guy?
I've done both kinds.
Yeah.
It's better with two girls.
Yeah, I enjoy those more. I've been in a boat, like my ex-girlfriend for my wife was bi, so
okay.
A year and a half our relationship was nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
With all that, like three girls. I mean, it was, you know, crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't get hard after that for a while because you're okay. So used to. You
need all that stimulation.
Yeah. You're like, right. You know what I mean? And it's like going to Disney World all your life and then going to a shitty carnival. It's not the same.
Right.
So,
right.
But I've been in the two guy and girl ones too.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are fun too because, you know, I mean, there's no intermingling there between the guys. It's a dominating thing, you know, like a tag team, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, is that what you're supposed to do? I thought it was all the intermingling.
Yeah.
Also, there was no girls. It was all guys.
It was just guys. But here are the U.S. states which have the highest number of couples looking for kinky threesomes.
Wow, okay. I'm getting out my scratch pad here.
Yeah.
I'm going to note this down.
Now, where would you think would be the best state to have a threesome?
I don't know. Maybe like the most repressed state. Maybe somewhere in the South, like I don't know, like Alabama or Arkansas or something like that.
No, it would be California's the
okay,
number one.
Okay, wow.
Right?
See, I thought that was too obvious, but okay.
Yeah, find out where most likely to get a threesome. It says here, Threesomes dating app has published details on the states in which its 11,000 registered couples reside. California turned out to be the state which is the most interested in group sex. And that's why they're going to fall off into the ocean, bunch of sinners. Followed by Texas.
Next week. Okay, so it does go. Wait a minute, is this just total? Because those are like the biggest states, too.
Well, is it per capita?
That's like, what I want to know. Yeah, like, yeah. Is it?
You just have a lot more freaks. There's more people.
It's like, well, yeah, it's you know, eight times the land mass and 20 times the population, of course.
And, you know, out there is just nothing to do in Texas. Well, there's got to be a lot to do in Texas, or a lot of people to do.
That's for sure, yeah.
New York was number three.
Okay, these are the biggest states. So
yeah.
Go if you want to fuck a lot of people, go where there are a lot of people.
Just go where there's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a sales job. It's all in the numbers, right? Like in sales, yes. they say you got to make 100 calls
right.
to get 5% or 5 people to do business with you. You got to expect a 95% failure rate. So if you're asking for you and your friend or partner have a threesome with somebody, you got to at least ask a bunch.
Now, my method there is usually I would ask the girl to ask the other girl.
That's always...
Is that what you do too?
Yeah, I would never... I never had a... Like with my ex-girlfriend, I never... It was always up to her.
Yeah.
Never.
You don't go to a bar and then you're like, hey, honey, look who I brought home.
Yeah, no. Now she of course would say stuff to me like, "What do you think of, you know, like yeah. want my opinion?"
Yeah, yeah.
And it, you know, but it was never up to me. And then she would be the one who would, you know, go over and, you know, and then make it, you know, start making the moves. And I remember the first time it happened, man. We went to some pub thing together and stuff, and this one girl was with my girl, and my girl and her were in the back seat, and they got naked and stuff. Meanwhile, I'm trying to drive my car.
Right.
And they're in the back seat, like, you know, finger blasting and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, wow. And I'm sitting there driving with a boner. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, no hands. You're driving.
Yeah. I got my own club in front of them. I can't steal my own car. So I ended up, you know, of course, I pulled over in some neighborhood and jumped into the back seat.
Right.
That was the first time. Oh, it's lovely. I can still remember it like it was today.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Do you ever have flashbacks of those moments?
I do, but you know, so many of them are drug fueled.
Yeah, so a little
it's like
hazy.
It's like a dream now. Yeah,
hmm.
Yeah. I've been sober for several years now, so it's different.
It's different. Like I, you know,
fun memories though. Hey, you know.
Yeah, everybody's got experience
for sure,
that.
For sure,
it should be on your bucket list if you've never had a threesome. It should be on your bucket list.
Yes.
Our first time ever, Transparent shown shows TV first transgender full front nude scene, frontal nude scene.
What? Wait,
Transparent
what?
Is the TV show.
Oh, there's a show called Transparent.
Right,
okay.
Transparent. With the guy who used to be on the Jerry Sanders show, which was, what's his name? The fucking comic who died a couple years ago.
Oh, Larry Sanders
Larry
show.
Sanders show.
What's his, yeah, what is his name? One of my favorite. Gary Shandling.
Gary Shandling.
There you go.
Phenomenal.
So fun, such a funny guy.
But the guy who went, hey now, the guy who was sidekick on that show, he's on that show, Transgender. He's
okay.
He's a transgender. Transgender show shows TV's first gender full front nude scene.
So you see her dick?
Yeah, you get to see.
So he plays a woman.
Well, not him. I think it's somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't want, you know.
I was going to say, that guy's.
It's a real transgender. It's a real chick or
oh,
dude.
Oh, I thought you were saying
pre-op.
That his sidekick was playing a transgender.
Pre-op, they call that. Pre-op, like they got
oh,
the tits
okay.
and they got the body, but then, you, oh, what's that? You know.
All right.
Oh,
so it's a hot chick with a dick.
Well, you know. I'm guessing.
I'm just kidding, folks. They're all hot, right?
They're all hot. Some, you know, if you ever go to South Beach, you can make a mistake. Trust me, I have.
All the ones on my hard drive are hot. That's for sure.
Oh, I know. You never want to get caught. Like you never want to go on somebody. You go on your computer and say, "Let me find if I can find a transmission repair shop." No,
right.
Going to the fucking
yeah.
Into the
it's a lot of history there.
Yeah. Before season 4 of Transparent. Started production, transgender actress Alexandra Billings, who plays Mara's friend and mentor, Davina, on the series, walked into the writer's room to pitch. She had, she said she wanted to be naked. So
wow. Okay, so it was her idea.
Yeah.
Man, these things have changed, you know? Remember the old days where the Hollywood producer would be pressuring the lead actress to get naked?
Yeah.
You know, now she walks right into the producer's office and says, "I want to show my dick."
Yeah, I'm really proud of it.
Hey, I'm all for it, man. I love it.
Before
this
I get rid
great.
Of it, yeah, why not? I mean, who cares?
I say keep it, by the way.
Keep the penis?
Well, it's up, you know, obviously it's not my decision, but I dress in drag, but it's for comedy, of course.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I was actually transsexual, I would want to keep the dick, but still be a woman.
Yeah,
to me, it's like the best of both worlds then, you know?
I mean, if I was transgender, I'd be a lesbian transgender.
Right. Like
right?
like Bruce Jenner apparently
yeah.
is or Caitlyn.
Well, she got rid of.
I guess
her
she,
penis.
I guess she got rid of it, and now she still dates women though.
Yeah, she's been convicted of manslaughter.
Hey.
Here's another story. Now, all right, we're getting close to Halloween, so I got two stories here.
Okay.
All right.
This is another transsexual stories, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not a Transylvania story.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Blood and embalming fluid seeps onto street outside a Baton Rouge funeral home. See, imagine living down, you know, it's like...
Blood and embalming fluid, okay.
Yeah, like they have the things underground.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they came out and they poured onto the streets from the front of the funeral home. Blood and embalming fluid leaked from a storage tank onto the streets outside a funeral home,
home
before it was spotted by a passerby who screamed like a little girl. Images show the mix of blood and formaldehyde as it seeped onto the street behind the Green Oaks Funeral Home in Baton Rouge.
This is like the scene from The Shining where the blood comes pouring down the hallway.
Yeah. I mean, can you, that's the thing. Imagine you're sitting outside a funeral home. You'd be like, oh, my God. Blockage in the storage tank caused the leak, which lasted around 20 minutes. The blood did not make it its way into the sewer and was and it was on private property. So,
wow. That's crazy. Louisiana seems to always have problems like this, because wasn't it there where a few years ago they had all these corpses that were like
floating
and they have always have problems with graveyards in Louisiana. I always hear stories where they have to like they dig them up and then rebury them, or they have to
after a while don't they move them? Like I always wonder, like cemeteries, what they do. Like you can't get more land, so what do?
Something with the ground in Louisiana. Also, people have been living there for a long time, right? So it was French colony and all that stuff.
Right.
So it's like,
I mean, no one goes to a cemetery anymore. People died 250 years ago.
It's like, it's hundreds of years of people living on top of the same ground. Eventually, blood starts seeping out. It's insane.
The land's bleeding. Now, here's a funny story. Decapitated body is really a Halloween decoration. They got a lot of calls in Tennessee, the police department, because they felt it was like a dead guy with a garage door over his over his fucking head.
Oh, like it was in the movie Scream, right? Where the garage door comes up and kills the girl.
All right, like here.
Oh, you can turn around so we can see it here. Oh my God! Okay,
it's
pretty
a great,
great
job by the neighborhood guy. Yeah, that's your house. You should win the Halloween contest.
By the way, it's still September, people.
Yeah, this guy's wonder.
Maybe give it a couple 3 weeks. You know,
how come you didn't think it was hot? Well, it's September 26th.
Yeah, October 24th, October 25th. You put that up. I think maybe not too many raised eyebrows.
Tennessee Police Department urged residents to not call 911 on Wednesday after several people called to report a man was being crushed by a garage door.
Wow!
Only to find a puppet stuffed with straw.
That is a great looking puppet, though. It really looks
real
gruesome.
And by the way, there was a cowardly lion nearby and a tin man. attention, everyone. For those of you driving on Chucky Pike in Greene County, this is a Halloween decoration, not a crime scene. Fucking idiots.
It is a little scary, though, when someone takes Halloween just a little too seriously.
Now, did you ever go to a house like when you went, like we had a couple houses in the neighborhood that were notorious for that, like scaring the shit out of people?
Yeah.
And I was like one of those kids like, no, I ain't going. Fuck it. I don't need that candy that bad.
What I remember about Halloween was they had these. Halloween was kind of in the church. People didn't. Cause I was raised Baptist, right? And they said you shouldn't. It's the devil's holiday.
It's my friend from Haiti.
Yeah.
When I played on our soccer team, he hated Halloween. He go, it's the day of the spooks.
Yeah,
that's what he called it.
Some people think it's bad. So there's a Christian sentiment against it. And my parents were cool though. We would still go trick or treating and dress up and all that stuff. But I also remember they would have these things because the super Christian kids, the church wouldn't want you to go to the Halloween, the haunted houses or do Halloween. So they would do this thing called Hell House.
Right.
Where they would actually have like, you'd go into a room and there'd be like an abortion doctor and, you know, and then you go in another room and there'd be like some teenagers like kissing and, you know, groping each other. And you'd go in another room and then they'd be in hell. And it was like all the things you're not, you know, your parents tell you not to do.
A teacher banging a student.
Hey, you know. Just go wild, spitball, you know?
Jeez, that's funny. I wish I could have gone to that.
Yeah, so they're like Christian haunted houses with a lesson. You got to learn a lesson.
You have to learn a lesson, otherwise it's all moot.
Right.
Anyway, speaking of being all moot, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Yeah.
I'm going to officially say I'm boycotting the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, I don't, you know, here's the thing. I don't know. Like I said, I'm a soccer fan, number one, and fuck them. And you know, I believe in the police. And if your whole plight is because you don't like the police in this country, and you know that's mainly your reason for disrespecting this country, I feel that this country's come a long way. I think it's not perfect, and we got a lot more to change. But I don't think disrespecting the flag. Now, here's the thing: I don't give a fuck. But what I'm saying is funny. Is you're screwing yourselves. You're losing your audience, much like a comic who does political humor, like we talked about.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it.
If you're a comic that does political humor, you risk losing half the audience. If you're a professional football player and expect people to feel to accept your protest when you're clearly in a good state, you know, you've taken advantage, you should feel very fortunate of being in this country. Then I think you're going to lose fans. That's that simple.
I will not be boycotting the NFL, not because of any political thing at all. It's just I'm in two money fantasy football leagues, so I can't. I have to keep playing. Can I give my my info out? So if you want to follow me, find out about my comedy shows. I also do a radio show with John Gregory called Mean and Sober. You can get that at meanandsober.com. And you can follow me, find out about all my stuff at Ethan Is Not Funny, Twitter or Instagram.
There you go. Don't forget this week's Wise Guys comedy show. I'll be there as well as Cam Bertrand, who's a very funny cat out of Tampa, is moving to L.A., won a bunch of contests. And the barbarian comic from the Irish Comedy Tour, Mike McCarthy, is our headliner. And so come out this week for that. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. I'm going to be at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids. And I'm heading to New York the second week of October. So that's something to look forward to. But on that, we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Elgin David.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll have Ciro maybe back
nice.
Tomorrow's show. We'll see. But thanks, guys, for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. Join our fan page on Facebook, Wake Up with Dougie Show. And follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Take care, guys, and we'll see you here tomorrow at the same spot.
See you next time.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, thick beam of light hit the ground.